Proverbs for the day, December the 5th, Proverbs 5, verses 22 and 23. His own iniquity shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sins. He shall die without instruction, and in the greatness of his folly he shall go astray. I want to look at a couple thoughts out of these two verses today. End of the calendar year. It happened to be the end of this Proverbs chapter 5. 5 is a significant number in your Bible. It has been quite often taught that 5 is a number of death, and it is. We know in Genesis chapter 5 we have a whole list of people who died, who show up and their natural death, they just die. They weren't killed like Abel, they die. So we know 5 is a number of death. In our English language, it's even emphasized more because death has 5 letters, D-E-A-T-H, and Satan has 5 letters, S-A-T-A-N, and devil has 5 letters, D-E-V-I-L. There is something else that goes with it, and our intention is not to try to contradict somebody else or think we know more than somebody else, but there is a great observation here in that the number 5 is associated with life also. On the fifth day in Genesis 1, he starts bringing forth the life. We know that in the Lord Jesus Christ, J-E-S-U-S, by the way, that's a powerful, powerful, powerful name. This modern metaphysics charismaniac group want to try to act like that's just a human name, and what made him powerful was God anointed him, but there's more to it than that. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. So we know that death is associated, and death is associated with the number 5, but we know that life is too, or let's take the word grace. Grace is associated, G-R-A-C-E, 5 letters. You say, well, what about death? The only way to get grace, G-R-A-C-E, 5 letters, J-E-S-U-S, 5 letters, is by the death, D-E-A-T-H, 5 letters, of Jesus, J-E-S-U-S. That's the only way. When he got that Ethiopian eunuch out there, he preached unto him Jesus. And so we know, look, there are false Jesus everywhere. And they will abuse his name, but I'm not going to lose the power that God granted us in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus. Now, he has many names. He's the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Lord our Savior. He's all kind of things. But the point is that both these words are associated with it. In the passage we're looking at, we're looking at death here. We're looking at some bad things. In Matthew 23:28, even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. How about that? Matthew 24 and verse 12. Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. So our devotion is appropriate. Iniquity is a problem. The abundance of iniquity in the world that we live in is going to cause the love of many to wax cold. I'm amazed at these Bible believers that are afraid of that word. What word? Well, they're not afraid of the word iniquity. We all love to preach on it, because most of the time somebody else is committing it, the kind we preach on. But that word love, the love of many, the motivation for a child of God, the ultimate reason why we keep His commandments is because we love Him. Get this in Romans chapter 6. Now, boy, here's a verse for you now. Romans chapter 6, especially if you struggle and you think that it's some kind of so-called legalism or bondage to live a separated and sanctified life while trying to reach the world. But Romans chapter 6, let's pick it up at verse 19. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members as servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members, ready, servants to righteousness unto holiness. And them are Bible, New Testament, church age words, righteousness and holiness. It's Bible. He says, if I'll make myself a servant to righteousness. What's a servant to righteousness in the everyday sense for a believer? It's that you and I serve righteousness. We do what's righteous. We do what's right. Not what's legalistic, not what I feel like, not what's so selective. Boy, I tell you, some of these people wear you down. That they want to appear to be a Bible believer and all this stuff, and yet they and them heart are not submitted to five verses when it comes to the grace of God. 2 Timothy chapter 2, listen to this, verse 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His, and, listen, let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. So this is a applicable subject. It's an applicable subject. Three things with what little time now we have after doing that, but that was an important introduction to this truth. Because you say, what does wickedness and iniquity have to do with the believer? He just said we have to make sure we depart from it. Because that's where we were before. The wicked are hurting themselves, number one. His own iniquity shall take the wicked himself. Substances, sensual sins, amusements, things that degenerate, things that hurt. Listen, it's okay. And this is what amazes me. Those who would try to pick apart things that are just the way God gave it to us, the proper kind of humor, the proper kind of sarcasm, the proper kind of a view of life. It's amazing that they would appear to be so tight, and yet they are literally held. They are taken by their own. See, the wicked are not living it up. They're being used up by their own iniquities. And we need to understand that the wicked are hurting themselves. You say, well, it doesn't look like it. Well, it's not the end of the way yet. Just like they don't judge apples in May as far as what rewards you'll get for serving Christ, the jury is still out and will be out until the final day when God passes judgment and God brings it all to pass on whether or not the wicked are hurting themselves. But they are. His own iniquity shall take the wicked himself, and he will. It will. The wicked are hurting themselves. You know, if you're playing with sin as a believer right now, you might be playing with the sin of bitterness. You might be playing with the sin of covetousness. You might be playing with the sin of sexual things. You might be playing with the sin of music. Whatever it is, it'll take you, and it'll get you, and you're hurting yourself. Isn't it amazing when you try to keep somebody from hurting themselves how upset they get? Now, I'm not talking about passing legislations and stuff. And you do what you want. I'm kind of glad. I mean, I'm thankful that I can go sit down somewhere and I don't have to breathe somebody else's cigarette smoke. I'm glad I can go to the post office or whatever. So I'm thankful for it. You say, well, it leads to over-government. I know that. I understand. But I am thankful for it sometimes. I went in a place the other day and I come out and It just about had to burn the jacket because it was so nasty. And if that don't bother you, that's your business. But I don't want to breathe that junk in just because I don't like it. You see, the wicked are hurting themselves. They're hurting themselves. The wicked are held by cords of sins. Shall be holden with the cords of his sins. The wicked are held. You know, the only thing that can free a man or a woman, a boy or a girl, is repentance about their sins. It's the only hope. You see, God gives you the ability to repent along the way. Without that, without repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to be held by your sins. You're going to be tied, bound, wrapped up. Now here's what the world is skillful at. The world is skillful at tying you up while making you think that you're having a good time and promising you liberty. Simon Peter understood this. Simon Peter wrote to the believers, and he said in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 19, while they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, get this, of the same is he brought in bondage. You ever say to someone says, hey, let's go have a drink. You say, I don't need it. I don't need it. Well, I don't need it either. Really? Then let's just go have a Coca-Cola or a cup of tea or a glass of water or a glass of milk and let's call it a day. You see, the wicked are held by cords of sin and they don't know it. They're being promised liberty. Young person out there in the world, walking on the edge of the world, it's not liberty you're getting. Day by day. You ever seen the illustration where someone takes thread, just sewing thread? Put two of your fingers together, you know, and just start wrapping that thread around and wrapping that thread around and wrapping it around and wrapping it around. After a couple of wraps, you might be able to open your fingers and break it. After four or five or ten, depending on, you know, your strength. But you get that thing and wrap it, wrap it, wrap it, you'll get to the point you can't break it. You can't break it. The wicked are hopeless. They're hurting themselves. They're held by the cords of sins. And the wicked are hopeless by themselves. And so are you. You're no match for iniquity. You're no match for the world. I am no match for the world. It says here that he shall die without instruction. Listen, instruction is out of the question when you're tied to your sins. It's as if you're tied, your arms are behind you, you're wrapped up, tied to a chair, and someone's telling you to go over the door and open it and get out of here. You can't. You see, iniquity can never help us. Iniquity can never help you. It can, and it often does, damn you. But it can't help you. Folly always leads to folly. In the greatness of his folly, he shall go astray. The wicked are hopeless by themselves, and so are you. You know, one of the greatest damning influences is a pharisaical religious spirit that can get into a person. And if you're not careful, you'd be ate up with it. You say, is that iniquity? It must be. In Matthew 23, we know who he's talking to. How about that? In Matthew 24, in Romans 6, he says, when we get away from that, we make ourselves servants to righteousness. That includes the whole book, friend. So I would encourage you today. Here it is, coming down to the end of this calendar year, on December the 5th. Let God take death and turn it into grace by appropriating the blood and the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Make yourself a servant unto righteousness, a servant of righteousness unto holiness.